हरे कृष्णा जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्य श्री श्रीमार डिवाइन ग्रेस ए श्री भक्ति वीरांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्य श्री श्रीमार डिवाइन ग्रेस शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंतकोटि वैष्णविन की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरिगोबदान की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। मथुरा धाम की जय। नवद्वीप धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। जगन्नाथ स्वामी की जय। गंगा मई की जय। जमुना मई की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। सामवीर भक्तवृंद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि 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 वो ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज हरे कृष्णा। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज हरे कृष्णा। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज हरे कृष्णा। All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to the Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Samadhi Bhakti, Dede, Swami, Tinyamani. Namaste, Krishna Padaya, Prabhupada, Siddhartha, Sri Guru, Karana, Shakti, Bhakti, Dede, Tinyamani. Narayana Namaskritya, Narum Chaivam, Narottamam, Devim Saraswati Vyasam, Tato Jayam, Mudirayat, Nascha prayesu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttama shloke bhaktir bhavachinaishtaki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everybody. So, just a quick announcement for those who may have joined the first time, because I know I asked some people to. You have to press star 6 to mute your phone. And then when it comes to question time, you do that again, star 6, and then you can ask questions. Okay, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. So, this morning's text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Which is entitled The Status Quo, Chapter 23, which is entitled Devahuti's Lamentation, in Text 9. So the main reason for picking this text is to talk about humility by the mercy of the Parampara and guidance by Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. So, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:23:9. Evam bhuvanam abalakila yogamaya vidya vichakshanam abesha gata dir asid samprashraya pranaya vivhalaya gireshan vedavaloka virashad dasi tananaha. Word for word translation. Evam, thus, Bhuvanam, speaking. Abala, the woman. Akila, all. Yogamaya, of transcendental science. Vidya Vikshanam, excelling in knowledge. Aviksha, after hearing. Gata Adi, satisfied. Asid, she became. Samprashraya, with humility. Pranaya, and with love. Vivalaya, choked up. Gira, with a voice. Isat, slightly. Veda, bashful. Avaloka, with a glance. Vilasat, shining. Hasita, smiling. Anana, her face. Aha, she spoke. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Upon hearing the speaking of her husband, who excelled in knowledge of all kinds of transcendental science, innocent Devahuti was very satisfied. Her smiling face shining with a slightly bashful glance, she spoke in a choked voice because of great humility and love. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It is said that if one is already engaged in Krishna consciousness and is rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord, then it can be supposed that he has finished all the recommended courses of austerity, penance, religion, sacrifice, mystic yoga, and meditation. Devahuti's husband was so expert in the transcendental science that there was nothing for him to argue about. And when she heard him speak, she was confident that since she was very much advanced in devotional service, he had already surpassed all transcendental educational activities. She had no doubt about the gifts offered by her husband. She knew that he was expert in offering such gifts. And when she understood that he was offering the greatest gift, she was very satisfied. She was overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and therefore she could not reply. Then, with a faltering language, just like an attractive wife, she spoke the following words. O Magyana Timirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jadvaita Gadadha Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyadi Sitarini Namo Mahapadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurati Se Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divyacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. Okay, so if you would excuse me, just another quick repetition of what I said earlier. For those of you who have called in for the first time, I ask some of you to do that. During this program, you press star followed by six on your phone to be muted. And then when it comes to questions and answers time, you press star six again to be unmuted. Okay. Hare Krishna. All right. So here's the text again. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text 9. So, the translation is, upon hearing the speaking of her husband, who excelled in knowledge of all kinds of transcendental science, innocent Devahuti was very satisfied. Her smiling face shining with a slightly bashful glance, she spoke in a choked voice because of great humility and love. All right. So, clearly, the text here mentions Devahuti, and it also says upon hearing the speaking of a husband. So that says that Devahuti is speaking with a husband, or they're going back and forth, actually. The next text would indicate that, but time permitting and with the permission of Parampara, we may talk a little bit about that too. So there is conversation between husband and wife, both of them pure devotees of the Lord. Kadama Muni, very much connected with Krishna, having gone through austerities just to please Krishna. Krishna, or Vishnu, actually appeared to him and literally shed tears because of how much the Kadama Muni compromised his physical body just to go through meditation and, you know, austerities to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, that's significant because there's another soul who was demonic, Hiranyakashipu. He also went through severe austerities. As a matter of fact, he stood steadily for years and years and years and years. This is Hiranyakashipu, because he wanted some boons from Lord Brahma to do demonic activities. So basically, what it is some people, especially those with demoniac mentality, would go through austerities because they want certain things. So they're thinking in terms of karmakanda, fruitive activity. They want certain boons in order to be able to control and govern, for lack of a better word, without Krishna consciousness. But a devotee of the Lord would go through austerity just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. That is the difference. So, one, the austerity done by the devotee of the Lord is for good cause and good reason. It's done for good reason. Reason of service, devotional service with love. And the austerity that's embarked on, if they want to, by demons, that's to get, basically it's based on lust, to take, to get something to be able to control. Because demons think they are happy and satisfied when they control large situations, either populations or corporations and so on, without anything that's, you know, goodness, but just all passion and ignorance, to put it in a summary form, worrying people and so on. So Devahuti is speaking with her husband. Now, the text indicates that she was very satisfied. The text indicates also the innocence of Devahuti. And that's a whole lecture in itself. Innocent does not mean you don't know anything. That's ignorant. Innocence means that there is sweetness underlying this person, Devahuti in this case, because he was very, very much trusting the person that he's speaking to, and therefore she could actually make herself vulnerable emotionally. That's innocence, in that sense, especially when she was talking with her husband. So she was also very satisfied, and the outward show of the satisfaction is indicated in this text also. She had a smiling face, and she had a slightly bashful glance. When women are very much in love, very much in love in their hearts, according to what they've told me, I'm not in a female body, but they will glance, look sideways. That the gopis do that to Krishna all the time. All the time, because they're so very much in love with Krishna. The next thing too, she spoke in a choked voice. Now, she did that because of great humility and love. And I've been, asking permission and begging the Parampara to help me to speak about humility this day. Actually, there's enough information here that we may do two lectures back to back about humility. Hopefully, the ones that describes the nature of it, and then based on what might happen, we might talk about how to act in humility in the next Bhakti Viksha program. So that's what's in my head, and we'll see what the parampara allows to happen, because I'm just a servant. All right, now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, it's said that if one is already engaged in Krishna consciousness and is rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord, then it can be supposed that he has finished all the recommended courses of austerity, penance, religion, sacrifice, mystic yoga, and meditation. Now, so Srila Prabhupada says, if one is already engaged in Krishna consciousness, accepting Krishna with full faith, and this person is rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord. Now, loving service, Srila Prabhupada has stressed that so much. The other day, actually, in the last few days, I've been reading the book called Perfect Questions and Perfect Answers. So there's this guy called Bob and asking Srila Prabhupada, he's an American body person, according to what the book says, asking Srila Prabhupada questions and Srila Prabhupada answering them. Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, the title of the book. When Srila Prabhupada talked about bhakti yoga, he stressed the word loving service, love and devotion. And Krishna doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't even need our food, even though we offer to him. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevyamana. So Krishna has thousands and thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune, and they can feed him all they want. And he can take all they want. So what does he need ours for? But the point is, if we offer anything, including food, with love and devotion, Krishna accepts it. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yom imaksha parashiti. He talks about that. Fruit, flower, water, leaf meaning tulsi leaf. If you offer that with love and devotion, no, that's the condition. With love and devotion, then he accepts it. No love and devotion, useless. Even maybe vegetarian food, no love and devotion, he doesn't accept, because he's not hungry. He never is. He doesn't have to be. The Supreme Lord, he can be hungry when he wants to, by his own pastime. And if he doesn't want to, he won't be. Again, based on what he wants at any time. So it's love and devotion that's so important. And love and devotion are the cornerstones for humility, because humility is one of the actions that engenders love and devotion. That's why we want to talk about humility today. So, Devahuti's husband, Srila Prabhupada said, this is Karama Muni now, he was so expert in the transcendental science that there was nothing for him to argue about. And when she heard him speak, she was confident that since he was very much advanced in devotional service, that he had already surpassed all transcendental educational activities. So we're talking about a very high level devotee here, and a pure one at that. Very knowledgeable and lives it. So he applies his spiritual methods to his life. And his wife knows this very well. His wife is also very highly trained. Devahuti is Swayambhuva Manu's daughter. Swayambhuva Manu is the first Manu. And the Manus are the ones that assist Lord Brahma in running the affairs of the universe. Swayambhuva Manu himself, Devahuti's father, very, very, very highly advanced devotee. In fact, he would go to bed at night and wake up in the morning let's understand, he is Manu. They are very, very wealthy. Very wealthy. So in his palace, he had a band, a music group, and they play Krishna conscious music. So they would come to his, chamber, to his bedroom, and they would play light, relaxing music and Krishna conscious music. That's how he woke up. So he wake up thinking about Krishna. And he gave his daughter to, Kadama Muni. So this is all wonderful and pure, and we can learn a lot from them, their activities. So Srila Prabhupada continues that Devahuti had no doubts about the gift offered by her husband. So, of course, this is in the middle of marriage. So many things had happened. Some of it we'll talk about. She knew that he was expert in offering such gifts. So much had been done by Devahuti herself in assisting her husband. They were in the woods. Her husband was just doing very, very, very severe austerity. And Devahuti, in humility, now this is a princess now. Swayambhuva Manu is a king. And so his daughter is a princess. So you talk about being raised, you know, pomp and gallery, the whole nine yards, living very, very, very comfortably. And now she gets betrothed or married to a highly advanced devotee, but in the woods, eating practically nothing but the fruits and twigs and stuff there in the woods. So she goes from that situation to a situation, but that situation of so much available with her to, you know, where she was living in the palace, to this situation where she has to really live by austerity. And she definitely immersed herself in it and went through so much austerity herself to support her husband. So all of this has indirect connection with humility. Because as a princess, now in Kali Yuga, if she had Kali Yuga mentality, she said, why in the world would I have my father put me in a place like this? And I've lived in a palace and now I'm sitting in the woods and I don't know about this man. And I've been asked to marry this man. I didn't choose this man. And now I'm in this situation and he's starving me. And what do I do? Typical complaints that would come from somebody thinking according to Kali Yuga, but not her. She immersed herself in the situation. So, you know, Kardama Muni was very, very, very happy with his wife and offered gifts. And some of it would be talked about. One that she actually requested, that's in the next text. So I'll read that. That's Srimad Bhagavatam, same canto, canto 3, same chapter, chapter 23, but text 10, which is up from 9, 10. So this is just to understand the flow of the conversation between the husband and wife. So the translation here is, Sri Devahuti said, my dear husband, O best of the Brahmanas, I know that you have achieved perfection and are the master of all the infallible mystic powers because you are under the protection of Yogamaya, the transcendental nature. But you once made a promise that our bodily union should now fulfill. Since children are a great quality for a chaste woman who has a glorious husband. So if you're looking, if you're hearing this, basically, Devahuti is now telling her husband, first praising him. This is something we learn, that we have to learn. First, if you're speaking to someone, especially someone in authority, you can start by, and many, many, many pure devotees have done this to Krishna, or especially, talk about the qualities of this person, nice qualities, then put in your request, then finish off with something nice again to the person. And this is actually being practiced in ISKCON. The director of communications has mentioned this. Other sannyasis have mentioned this also. Jaya Taka Swami, I'm sure one of them. Yes, he did. He did in fact mention it. Praise first, request second, praise third. If you're a person in authority and you want to point out something to someone, again, praise that person first. Then bring whatever you need the person to be aware of, especially if it's negative and they need to change it. Bring that up and again, end it nicely with something nice about that person. So always, first, positive. Second, whatever you want to say, say it a nice way and, you know, using mild words. And again, positive. The end, praise. Again, some of the things that we learn based on humility. So, so she's saying to her husband, but once Sometime back, you made a promise that when we involve ourselves in sex life, he's saying that a bodily union should fulfill that particular promise you made. In other words, he's asking that they meet, they see that he sees her in order to have children. And so she brought children at the end. Children are a great quality for a chaste woman who has a glorious husband. So she ended it well by calling her husband glorious. So best of the brahmanas in the beginning. Then she puts in the request. I want bodily union because you promised that. And children are great quality and for a chaste woman. And then he says, but you are a glorious husband. So best of the brahmanas, then request, then glorious husband. Other examples of humility. Srimad Bhagavatam, the same canto 3, chapter 16, text 2. And that is about Haridas Thakur, about Brahma, who came to the world, came here in India as Haridas Thakur. One of the situations that he faced. Now, he was born in a Mohammedan family. And Jagannath temple is for devotees in Hindus. So he couldn't enter the temple. He wasn't allowed to because he was Mohammedan. So what was he doing? Well, because he didn't want to enter the temple, let me just actually read that side because it makes the point easily. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:16:2. This is part of the purport. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing at Jagannath Puri, Haridas Thakur, who happened to be a Mohammedan by birth, was with him. In Hindu temples, especially in those days, no one but a Hindu was allowed to enter. Although Haridas Thakur was the greatest of all Hindus in his behavior, by connection in religion, he was Muslim, Mohammedan. He considered himself a Mohammedan and did not enter the temple. Now, Lord Chaitanya could understand this humility from Haridas Thakur. And since Haridas Thakur did not go to see the temple, Lord Chaitanya himself, who is none different from Jagannath, used to come and sit with Haridas Thakur daily. Actually, he also brought Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath to Haridas Thakur. So this is a nice show of humility, first by Haridas Thakur, understanding his position and the situation with what could be done and what could not be done as a rule. Now, whether that was good or not, debate on it. But the point was that non-Hindus couldn't enter. He was Mohammedan by birth, but devotee by consciousness. But anyway, outwardly, they knew him as a Muslim. And so, Mohammedan, a Muslim, you can't enter the temple. Now, Haridas Thakur wanted very much to connect with the Lord Jagannath. And so Lord Chaitanya being there, and he's the same as Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath is Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. And his wonderful devotee, the Namacharya, the Acharya of the Holy Name, is not going to the temple because of the rule. So then Lord Chaitanya himself came. So that tells us that when we live our lives in humility spiritually, the Lord responds when the need is there. Ye yatama papadyante tam sateva bhajami aham. The extent to which we surrender to the Lord, he rewards accordingly. So he did that. Lord Chaitanya. He would come. So Haridas Thakur couldn't go to the temple. Lord Chaitanya would actually come after leaving the temple to Haridas Thakur's place of residence and be with them. So Srila Prabhupada concludes here the response to the humility of Haridas Thakur. We talked about it a little bit, but anyway, this is how Srila Prabhupada put it. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, we also find this same behavior of the Lord. His devotees, the Lord's devotees, were prevented from seeing his lotus feet as Lord Jagannath. But the Lord himself, as Lord Chaitanya, came to see them on the same lotus feet for which they aspired, because the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath and Lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya are one and the same. So then he gave his darshan to his devotee. And the devotee could now worship his lotus feet. Another point in Mahabharata, Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira expressed so many ways of being humble. They were, the Pandavas were cheated out of their rights to Hastinapur and the empire for that matter. Hastinapur was the base, the capital city, in a manner of speaking. Now, Maharaj Yudhisthira was a crown prince, meaning that he was supposed to be the next king after Dhritarashtra left the body, or left the throne, either one. But Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana, first son, also wanted to be the king. So he was also considering himself crown prince. Now, things had gotten a little complicated, and due to the complication, it had come to a point where there were two crown princes, but there can't be two crown princes because there can't be two kings after the current king leaves. Maharaj Yudhisthira was actually the one that was supposed to get it, but how things turned out, Duryodhana got some say in it, not really, really good say. So, his father, Duryodhana's father, was the king. So he was siding with Duryodhana, even though he knew very well that Pandu's son, his nephew, was supposed to be the king. Yudhisthira was supposed to be the king after him. So this caused Bhishma, who was the grandfather overseeing everything, to divide the empire, split the empire between Duryodhana and Yudhisthira. Now, that was not the right thing to do, but within the circumstance, Bhishma was forced to do that, you know, with a heavy heart to do that. In that situation, a part of the empire was, or let's just say the land, was given to the Pandavas, and a part of the land was given to Duryodhana and his brothers. He had 99 brothers. The part that was given to the Pandavas with Maharaj Yudhisthira was barren, Kandaprast. And the other part with the palaces and all in that was given to Duryodhana. So right from the get-go, Maharaj Yudhisthira and Pandavas were cheated, even though Maharaj Yudhisthira was the one that was supposed to be the real king after Dhritarashtra left. So here's the situation. Yudhisthira had every right to be upset. He wasn't. He didn't get upset. He accepted the situation out of his humility, and Krishna responded, because Krishna was there, responded by having Indra fertilize the soil with rain. And even the Vishwakarma, the expert designer of buildings, architect, designed a very wonderful palace at Kandaprast. And Kandaprast's name got changed to Indraprast because of what Indra had done. Indra, the king of heaven, responsible for rain, had done to favor the Pandavas. So Indra was on Krishna's side and Pandava's side. And Kandaprast now changed to Indraprast, became very prosperous and free of crime and so many things. Again, when we are humble and the situation is even against us, but Krishna realizes that, we don't have to, you know, go through so much fighting. Even if we don't put up much of a fight or debate, Krishna knows what's happened. And in the end, we will actually benefit. Many people, I'm sure, can, you know, attest to this. And I definitely am one of them, where sometimes you know you've been cheated, but then you find out later on, it was a blessing in disguise. Not because it was actually a blessing at first, but Krishna changed it into a blessing. So humility can go that far to help us. Another example, Shakuni, who is the brother of the mother of the Kauravas. That was, in fact, He came also. He left his kingdom and came to Hastinapur to be with them. A long story, you know, I didn't think that he was against what Bhishma did, making his sister bandage, cover his eyes because he was asked to marry a king, Dhritarashtra, that was blind. So he wanted to cause problems, using Duryodhana to cause trouble in Hastinapur, particularly against Bhishma. So he just, you know, plotted one thing after another, setting up a dice game, not setting it himself, but convincing Duryodhana to tell his father to have a game of dice. He was an expert cheater, Shakuni, in dice, and he played on behalf of Duryodhana, who was playing against the Pandavas, and cheated them badly, and literally forced them to have to give up upon so many other things, give up the place where they were at now, Indraprastha. Prosperous Indraprastha, give it up. It took Gandhari, Dhritarashtra's wife, the queen, to come in there in the court, in the room where they were, and literally pump sense into her husband's head to cause him to overrule all of that the Kauravas had won in the dice game, and give everything that the Pandavas had lost in the dice game back to them. Again, Maharaj Yudhishthira himself didn't fight the situation. It took Krishna through Gandhari, the wife of the king, to change things. Still, they were not, these demons were not satisfied. Another dice game was arranged. And this time, the Pandavas or Yudhishthira lost again. And this time, they lost in the past and they had to go into, for 13 years, go away from Indraprastha. 12 years they had to spend in the forest and 1 year be somewhere where they couldn't be identified. So much trouble they had to go through. But Krishna was with them, and through all of this, Maharaj Yudhishthira was taking it. But he also knew that Krishna would help at any time. So he went through it, even though it was difficult. Now, Krishna, later on, the fast forward, he defeated anyone who wanted to be an aggressor against the Kauravas and attack them, even though they had reason. The Pandavas and the supporters had reason to attack Hastinapur and attack the Kauravas for what they had done. But Krishna didn't want that type of aggression. Again, another sign of humility. A humble person is not an aggressor. So Krishna was indirectly feeding them the quality of humility. Bhima, the brother, one of the Pandavas, Arjuna, also a brother, Yudhishthira, one of the Pandavas, and Drupad, who was their father-in-law, the Pandavas' father-in-law, and the Kshatriya king himself, all wanted to attack the Kauravas. But Krishna defeated the arguments one by one until they all kept quiet. The war, Kurukshetra war, did in fact happen, but it was based on Krishna's arrangement as Sarva Karana Karanam. Brahma, Lord Brahma says in Brahma Samhita, Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. So everything that's happening, good or bad, in the end, especially for devotees, you have to understand Krishna is behind it. He be the final, not the one that causes it, sometimes, especially when it's bad. But the end result will be according to what Krishna wants. So then we don't have to be so willing to fight so much and hurt ourselves in the process. We can protest. Yes, that's there. Even the situation that's happened now in this country, in the United States, people are protesting for good reason. For good reason. At the bodily level, but still for good reason. Now, so Krishna is going to be the final decision maker even in this COVID-19 situation. He would be. Devotees have to understand that. Whatever happens, that people who are trying to rule without Krishna in the center, and those are called demons. That's the definition of a demon. So what they're doing, that's there. And this is going on, and people are going through the fallout from it. But Krishna is not sleeping. He knows what's going on. And in the end, he'll be the final decision maker, as devotees will see later. Anyway, in the Kurukshetra War, even before the Kurukshetra War started, Yudhishthira showed another sign of humility. He literally walked to all of his elders who were on the other side, fighting, going to fight against him. Dronacharya, his teacher, Bhishma, you know, the grandfather and lover of all of them, Kripacharya, the guru for all the Kurus, actually Pandavas in reality are Kurus because they are they're part of the father is a brother, the father Pandu is a brother to Dhritarashtra, so actually the same family. So we could actually call all of them Kurus, but Dhritarashtra made it a point to separate his children, calling them Kurus, from Pandu's children, calling them Pandavas. He made sure he never called them Kauravas too. So now when you talk about Kauravas, basically because of the envy and all of that going on, we had to just give the name Kauravas to Duryodhan and the whole gang there, lack of a better word. So Maharaj Yudhishthira went to literally ask for permission for the fighting before the war would begin. Now, these days in Kali Yuga, how many people with the enemy would go to the other side and even ask for permission? These days, bombs are thrown at people, not even soldiers, people, at 3 o'clock in the morning when they are fast asleep, bombs are raining down. So Kali Yuga wars are absolutely a mode of ignorance. There is no real rules that a war should be waged with, so people would not be killed unnecessarily. But that's the situation we're in now. So nobody should say that this earth here is wonderful unless they just don't know these things. Just because it doesn't affect us directly does not mean that we're okay. But that's like talking like an ostrich, you know? I don't mean to offend anyone, because an ostrich, when he's in trouble, he runs and puts his head in a hole or in the sand. And then the rest of his body is all out, as if the rest of the body is not going to be attacked. So this is not good thinking. But I know devotees don't think like that. But no, people are just generally, non-devotees are thinking, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're just hearing about the wars that are going on, and people are being bombed, and people are being killed. But we're going to be suffering. There's a fallout. If we don't actually do something about this government, there's going to be fallout. But devotees are different because we are told that we don't actually belong here. And we're going back to Godhead. Therefore, there may well be divine intervention for what's going on here. But in the end, a devotee is not concerned with this place. It is hell. In many ways, it is hell. And Krishna and his devotees, the pure devotees, have come to take us out of this hell and back to Godhead. So that's our program. And those who can hear us or want to would also get the opportunity to start their journey back to Godhead. So the demons can't do anything in the spiritual world. They can't. So this is a place that they act up. So we're here temporarily, but we'll go back. So to come back to this, probably to end it in a few minutes. So Devahuti's mood basically showed signs of humility. In the text, her smiling face shining with a slightly bashful glance, she spoke in a choked voice because of great humility and love. All of those signs of humility. And the second and last point that we want to put down is acceptance of superiority of a husband. The acceptance of superiority by Kardama Muni as a husband. So that's also a sign of humility. So, with your permission, I'd like to end here. And it looks like what I was thinking about is what's going to happen, because we have to continue next week, if you'll be kind enough to help me continue, I'll talk about other qualities and how devotees can access humility and act in humility. That will be for next week. So the the text, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text 9. Evam bhuvaman abalakila yogamaya vidya vikakshanam aveksha gatadi asit samprasaya pana vivalaya giresan vidavaloka vilasat dasitanaha. Excuse me, my voice is a little hoarse. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Upon hearing the speaking of a husband who excelled in knowledge of all kinds of transcendental science, innocent Devahuti was very satisfied, her smiling face shining with a slightly bashful glance. She spoke in a choked voice because of great humility and love. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, as I said, we will have to continue next week on this, if you would kindly have me continue with this. Hare Krishna. So you can unmute your phones now, star 6, and ask questions as you'd like. Hare Krishna. So are there any?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Sorry.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class.
Krishna's mercy.
So,
go ahead.
Since you're talking about Mahabharata war, so one question I have in mind. So, Bhishma Dev had reason to be on Kaurava's side because he had taken that oath. Even Karna had taken oath that he'll help his friend always. He promised Duryodhan. But what was the reason for Dronacharya and Kripacharya and elevated people, they know who is on the right side. Why they have to stay on the wrong side? Just because they were indebted to Dhritarashtra for giving them livelihood, like their guru. It always confuses me, actually.
Actually,
they chose the wrong side.
Yeah. Yes, you are a good person, so you can see how you chose the wrong side. Let's start from there. And that's, you're right, I have to agree with you, based on the right thing to do. The right thing to do. But this, in America, they say, you're caught between a rock and a hard place. Either way you turn, there's something hard for you, you can't get out. And that's exactly what you expressed. You can't get out because they are on Dhritarashtra's payroll, the king's payroll. They were brought, let's start with Dronacharya. He was brought in to help train all of them. At that time, they were called Kauravas. Everybody, Pandavas and all of them, they were all from the same family. So he was hired. He was hired by who? Well, he was accepted by Dhritarashtra. So if he's got to do anything, he has to do it for Dhritarashtra by reason of government, government rule. Now, goodness, or to look at it from a point of view of the right thing to do, yes, they should have been on the other side with the Pandavas. But Dronacharya trained both of them. How would you like to be caught on both sides with one side that you train your students and the other students fighting against each other? Still, they are both students of his, so he could have chosen the side that's right, the Dharma side, which is the Pandava side. But since Dhritarashtra was paying him and he was still there, and so we had to, by purpose of, from the material side, do that. But, if you look at the spiritual side, who knows what Krishna's plans are? There were so many lessons that he was going to teach with this Kurukshetra one Mahabharata. So that also underlies even Bhishma himself. He also accepted to be on the other side. But that was because Krishna had requested him to be on the other side, because he wanted to show, Krishna wanted to show, that it doesn't matter how good you are or how elevated you are, if you choose the wrong side, there is consequence, negative consequence that will come to you. So Bhishma accepted that role. You talked about Kripacharya, where he was also family guru, still under, or being helped. Those, they receive charity, but the charity was from the king. So what could he do? So he also was on the other side. No, the whole thing is not pretty. You know, put it, the whole thing doesn't sound really nice. That's why in America say it's not pretty. But Krishna had them be on those sides to make a point about a teacher who is supposed to do the right thing, choose the Pandava side because that was the right thing to do. A family guru, who was a family guru for all of them. Again, it would have been better for him to be on the right side, the Dharam side with the Pandavas. And he didn't. And all of them wound up losing. Therefore, he was basically, Krishna was making the point that you go the wrong side, you lose. Krishna is always on the side of Dharm, religion, the right side. So that's basically what the underlying this whole point of why they were on the side that we were on. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Baba. That clarifies.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay. So, Nina Mataji, I mean, anybody can interrupt at this time, but if you want to end, we can.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare.
Yes. Thank you very much, Prabhu. How nicely you spoke last time on pride, and so this time you spoke on humility. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
For
this
offer of coming here to preach.
Krishna's mercy.
Anybody else have any questions, any last minute questions before we end the call? Okay,
I'll go ahead and end the call. Okay. This session is no longer being recorded.